It's a happy privilege to be back tonight under the tent. Feel the presence of Jesus. Still interested in winning souls and helping people be prepared for that great and final moment when the Lord shall break the heavens and appear for His people, which I believe to be near at hand. According to my understanding of the Holy Scriptures and the fellowship that I've had with God, I know that the coming of the Lord is near at hand. And I'm just thankful to be able to be a part of what God is doing in this day. And even though people as a whole are too busy to talk about Jesus or too busy to follow after Jesus, yet I'm glad that I'm able to see and understand and find myself in the ministry for Christ's sake. So we're glad to be here tonight. We're thankful for every one of you that are here. And appreciate all of you coming out to hear the gospel. Trust that something will be said that will be a benefit to you. And that after we leave this area, that you'll be stronger in the things of God than you have been. Trust that God will bless you and that you will grow stronger and stronger in the things of Jesus. The book of St. Luke, if you've got your Bibles, chapter 8, I'd like to read a little bit. It came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village preaching and shewing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moist. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, and 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasure of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But they on the good ground are they which in an honest good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm, and he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and waters, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and shew how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Reading here in the book of Luke, in the 25th chapter, Jesus asked this question. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? You know, in the day that we're living in, especially in this hour, the question could be asked the entire church world, Where is your faith? You know, there is less faith, there is less interest, there is less stimulants, there is less concern about God and God, what God is doing in this hour, than there has ever been in the history of mankind. Even the ministers themselves have lost interest in lost souls, and they are more interested in collecting money and having fame and popularity and the things of the world than they are in trying to reach people with the gospel. And it's a sad hour. They are learning what the people desire and what the people want, and they are putting all of that together so that the people will follow them and the people will contribute to their way of life. They're using everything from the mayor of the city to the senators to football players to great athletes and great movie stars and musical stars and everything that they can get together. They are using them to draw the people and to entertain the people, whereby they might have the following that they desire to collect the funds to put over the program that they have proposed to put over during their lifetime. But you know, in spite of all of this, the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ remains the same. And God is still today speaking to his people and still reaching out with the hand of deliverance and reaching out with the hand of God to the people of God around the world. And God is beginning to gather together his elect from the four winds of the earth. And he's beginning to bring them together in a group to get them ready for that great, wonderful translation that Paul spoke about in the book of Thessalonians. And so then it is tonight a time to ask the questions, where is your faith? Where is the faith of the people tonight? Where is the confidence of the people tonight in the Word of God? It was last night that one of our men here was having a dispute with somebody that was outside that is going around saying that the Bible is an idol. Where is the faith and confidence of people in God's Word? Why is it that people are turning away from God's Word and bringing so many different things into the religious walk of life and trying to convince themselves that even though God said it, they don't have to honor it, and they don't have to obey it, and they don't have to heed it, because this is a different day, they say. This is a modern day. This is the day when God is making allowance for new things. But if you'll notice here, the Bible says that this sower that sowed this word, that it fell in certain places that did not profit the ones that received it, nor the sower that sowed it. But it did say that there was some here that received this, and with patience they brought forth what God had wanted to produce in their life. They were patient, the Bible said. They just went on doing the will of God, and they were careful to keep good works according to the Scriptures and to honor God, and they soon brought forth a harvest. And so it is tonight. What we need to do is to come to the place to where we can honor God and where we believe in the Word of God. It doesn't matter what anybody says. God's Word remains the same. God's Word is still the same. It's unchangeable. God's Word will always be the same. Here in this tent tonight, we have very few people compared to the size of the tent as to what we should have. But it doesn't matter if we have few, if we have many. God's Spirit is the same. God's Word is the same. And whether God sends a man down to one, as he did Philip over to the eunuch, or whether he sends him to a citywide revival, God's Word remains the same. And inasmuch as God has sent us to this area, here in the Memphis area, you can be of a certainty that God is doing something, and God will do something to this area when we leave from here. See, it doesn't matter whether the multitude comes out or whether it doesn't come out, or they don't come out. When God sends a man to an area, it is for a purpose. And if that man is led of the Spirit, when he goes to that area, whether the people respond or not, God is doing something in that area, and there will be something that will take place among the people and in the area that will be a great, notable thing. Everybody we'll know about it when it comes. And being here tonight in this area preaching the gospel, trying to share with you what the Lord is doing, it thrills my heart tonight. Though I had rather the tent would be filled up with people, yet if we don't have but a few people, and of course there are more people come in from time to time, it seems like that in this area they get here late anyway. But nevertheless, if we don't have the people that I would like to have to come to this tent, I want you to know that God is, He has sent us to this area, and I'm asking the question tonight, where is the faith of the people of Tennessee, Mississippi, or Memphis, or this area? Where is their faith in God tonight? You say, well, Brother Pike, they're serving God. They don't have to come out to this tent. They've got their own church. But that's not the way that the Bible reads. Israel had their own synagogues. Israel had everything that they needed to worship God, but when God sent a prophet into the area, they were shaking. Everybody was shaking because they knew something was going to happen. And when God sends a man of God to an area, it doesn't matter if they have 10,000 churches in that area. God is either displeased or God is going to do something. Whether good or bad, God is going to do something in that area. So then tonight, where is the faith of the people? If the people of this area have faith in God, they tell me in this area, right here where we're at, there's at least 7 churches. Where are some of those people tonight? Where are their ministers tonight? If they can hear the voice of God, where are they at tonight? Either God did not send me to the area, or either they cannot hear the voice of God. Now it has to be one of two things. Either God did not send me to the area and I cannot hear the voice of God, or either God sent me to the area and they cannot hear the voice of God. If I cannot hear the voice of God tonight, even you that are here should not be here tonight. Because you, some of you have heard me preach from night to night. If I cannot hear the voice of God, then you're wasting your time to come here tonight. But if I do hear the voice of God, if God did say come to this area, and God made the way for me to be to this area, in this area, then that means ministers all abroad, all around here, they're in trouble with God. And those that cannot hear the voice of God, the laity is in trouble with God. Because if God sent me here, then God sent me here for a purpose. For God doesn't do foolish things. Where is their faith tonight? Where is their leaders tonight? Where are those that know the voice of God tonight? Why is it that they're not moving with the Spirit and they're not moving in the things of God? And why is it they do not have the concern for revival and for stirring the way that people had years ago? It's simply because they are backslid on God. You can tell the pastors of this area that I said they're backslid on God. They're backslid on God. You know what's wrong with them? They're more interested in cars and houses and land and prestige. They're more interested in buildings and they're more interested in the things that they're doing than they are in the Word of the living God. They're backslid on God. They're more interested in ball games. Churches all across the country, they're getting themselves a ball game. You know, if there ever was anything that was an abomination in the sight of God, it's for a church to get a ball team. I don't know of anything that's more of an abomination to think that they would degrade the church, bring it down so low in the eyes of the public as to get a ball team and put it in the church of the living God. I've said this a lot of times. Could you ever picture men like Peter and James and Paul and John coming up to the ball bat, to swing a ball bat, and to sit out there like a bunch of foolish people and scream because somebody's running around out in the field? Could you ever picture men of God doing such as that? Those men are not men of God. Those people are not people of God. They wouldn't do foolish things like that. The nature of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If they had the nature of Jesus Christ, it would do the very same thing today it done in that day when Jesus walked the sandy shores of Galilee. If they had the nature of Jesus Christ, they would be about their Father's business. They would be praying. They would be fasting. They would be studying the Bible. They'd be trying to publish the gospel throughout the world. They wouldn't have time to play ball. Can't you picture the Son of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, going out to a ball game, taking time to sit down at a ball game while people are dying and going to hell? You say, don't you believe that we need the ball fields? We should do. We need the ball fields and somebody with a backbone that'll get the ball players off of there and turn it into a camp meeting and use it for the glory of God. I'll tell you one thing, if they don't get the ball players out of there and turn it into something for God, God's going to bring back the days of those paganistic practices where they fed the people to the lions in the arenas. They're going to get God so upset with that foolishness until one day God will feed their carcass to the lions in the same places where they hollered and screamed like a bunch of heathens. The Bible said, choose not the way of the heathen. Ball games is the way of the heathens. Brother, let me tell you something. The world or the earth, not the world, but the earth and everything in the earth, the fullness thereof, belongs to God. But the world belongs to the devil. The system of this world is not of God. The system of this world is from the tree of knowledge. All this great business and making money, all these great ball teams, all of these great things of this world, all of the system of the world is the system of Satan himself. And he is the one that's got control of it. Now, why do we want to put a ball team in the church? What are we doing? Surely, surely we've got more understanding than that. And a man calls himself a preacher. And a man calls himself an overseer. And a man calls himself a son of God. And he causes the people to get entangled with the beggarly elements of this world and get into these foolish practices of doing the things of the world. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Where is your faith, Jesus said? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Where is our faith? Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. The Word of God told you not to do those things. The Word of God told you not to be partakers of those things. But you know what's wrong, folks? Because you have not a love for the truth, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. He will send you strong delusions. He will cause you to believe a lie. And he will cause you to be damned. Why? Because you don't love the truth. You don't love the truth. When a man hears the Word of God and he don't love the Word of God and he doesn't care for the Word of God and he'll do anything to get around the Word of God, he'll practice anything but what the Word of God says, he'll add to the Word of God because he doesn't want to quit the things he's doing, or he'll take away from the Word of God so that he will not have to give up what he's doing. Brother, sister, when you do that, you bring the wrath of God upon you. You cause God to send you strong delusions. You cause God to cause you to believe a lie. And you cause God to cause you to be damned. See, the Bible said, I will send you strong delusions. God said, I will send you strong delusions. He said, I will cause you to believe a lie. And I'll let you be damned. Beware, all you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. I noticed along the highway right here, since we've been here, there must have been 4 or 5 wrecks just at this one corner. What is it? People are forgetting God. People are leaving off with God. And God is literally tearing them into pieces. They're actually having to pick up pieces of people in a basket to have something to bury. And in some cases, there's not anything left. Why is that? Because the people don't have a love for the truth. They don't have any faith in God's word. If you say, Brother Pike, I'm here tonight, that proves that I have faith in God's word. Being here under the tent doesn't prove anything. It's your daily activities. It's the way you live. It's the way you conduct your life. It's the way you order your thoughts every day. That's what proves whether or not that you have faith in the word of God. Even though I trust tonight that every one of you love Jesus, I trust tonight that all of you are serving God. I hope that you are. I'm trying to serve the Lord myself. But did you know, being religious doesn't prove anything. It's your confidence in what God says. And it's whether or not you incorporate in your lives the thing that God has told you. It's whether or not you take these things that are written in God's word and put these things in your everyday activities. This is what determines whether or not you're living for God. If you sit under a TV set and you are gullible and you drink and eat every dirty, filthy thing that the carnal mind puts on that TV, don't you know that you don't have the nature of Jesus? You don't have the nature of Jesus. Jesus wouldn't do those kind of things. There's people, when the ball season comes, they glue themselves to that TV and they sit there in their gullible desire to watch that thing till the entire series is gone. Why do they do that? Because they don't have God. It's because their nature is of the devil and not of God. The nature of God doesn't care for that kind of stuff. That's the carnal mind that's enmity to God. That's foolishness. If I run over here to the movies, and I've got to go to the movies, whether it's in my living room, over a TV, or over here at the movies somewhere across the hill, and I go over there and I sit and watch that movie over there, it's because I am gullible and of the devil, and have the nature of the devil, and I'm hungry for the things of this world. Jesus said one time, as he turned to Peter, seeing Satan as he seized upon Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest the things that be of this world." You love the things that be of the flesh. But the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity to God. They that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells within you. If you have not His Spirit, then you're none of His. Now you might say, "Brother Pike, how then can I know that I have the Spirit of God?" By having faith in His Word. If you've got the Spirit of God, you'll have faith in what His Word says. How then can I know that I have the Spirit of God? Your nature will be of that divine, holy nature, and you will not hunger after ball games. You will not hunger to go down to the beach and strip your clothes off. You will not hunger to sit in the front of a TV and be gullible and drink down and eat that stuff that the Bible said the swine used to fill their belly with. You will not desire the things of this world, but your conversation will be in heaven. You'll talk about heavenly things. You'll have a heavenly desire. You'll have a heavenly vision. All of your ambitions will be heavenly. Your thoughts will be heavenly. Your conversation will be heavenly. Your endeavor will be toward establishing the kingdom of God in this world to get rid of the things of this world and bring in those heavenly things. Jesus is the great King. Isn't that right? Jesus has outlined for us the life that we should live. If we do the things that please God, if we do the things according to the life of Jesus, then we escape the snares of the enemy. The Bible said He is our example. We should follow in His steps. There was no guile in His mouth. He did no evil. Jesus walked a holy life, a godly life, a pure life. Somebody would say, "But Brother Pike, you just can't do that in this world. You came too late to tell me. Been doing it for years by the grace of God and the strength of God." Say, "Well, that's a matter of opinion." It is, but not of your opinion. It's a matter of God's opinion. Now, I can't judge you and you can't judge me. But the Bible teaches that you can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. I can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. If God has elected me unto grace, then God also predestinated me. If God predestinated me, then the Bible said God sanctified me. If God sanctified me, then the Bible said that He justified me by the faith of Jesus Christ. He filled me with the Holy Spirit, and God has also glorified me. Therefore, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You know, I'll tell you something, folks. It's right scary when you think about it. But did you know that this is the hour of the unveiling? Whatever you have been in your lifetime, and the way that you played around with God, and the way you've made believe in this thing, did you know this is the hour of the unveiling? And did you know this is the moment when that which is hid is beginning to come to light? And the Bible said there's nothing that's done in the dark that won't come to light. And everything that's done in secret, it'll be shouted from the housetop. And this is the day of the unveiling of the inner man. Did you know that people that have professed Christianity for many years, All of a sudden, have you noticed how degraded some of them are? Some of those people, and you say, my God, I never knew that was in their heart. But all of a sudden, look at them now. But see, it's been in their heart all the time. It was there all the time. But now the unveiling is here. Now the revealing of the inner man is here. Now that great judgment of God is here. And whatever you are and whatever you're going to be, it's beginning to be made manifest. It is beginning to show. Did you know, if you don't have faith in God's word and you don't have the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how much effort that you make, you'll never make it into the kingdom of God. Brother, you've got to have the love for God. You've got to have a desire for God. You've got to have that hunger and thirst for God. And in this day, these people that are just wishy-washy every way, they're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. Somebody would say, preach the gospel. Every creature, Brother Pike, that's true. It is my ambition to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature, preach the gospel to them. But brother, there is a world of difference when it comes to salvation. You may preach the gospel to every creature, but when it comes to God's elect, the Bible said, fear not, little flock. Jesus said, few there be that find it. And he said, the trees of God shall be so few that even a little child shall be able to number them. So then, when it comes to those that are really going to go in that translation and be part of the quickening of Almighty God, according to Paul's teachings in the book of Thessalonians, it's going to be very few people that enter into that. It's going to take a godly person. It's going to take a concerned person. It's going to take a person with perseverance. It's going to take a person that's willing to lay aside everything in this world just to obtain that which God has promised unto them. Where is your faith, Jesus said? Where is the faith of the people tonight? Can you say that you have faith in God when you don't do the things that God commands you to do? Can you actually say that you are saved by faith when you don't have any faith in God? The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you have no faith in the Word, you have no faith in God, beloved friend. Can you truthfully say tonight that you are a Christian and that the Bible tells us that we are saved by the grace of God through faith? How then can you say that you are a Christian if you have no faith? Jesus said, where is your faith? If a preacher tells you to leave off with the things of this world, why then, beloved friend, is it that you do not leave off with these things? Why is it that you continue in these things when God tells you not to do it? I can preach here tonight to you, and you'll listen to my words, and you'll reverence me, and you'll respect me. But just as quick as you go back to that living room, as quick as you go back home, that gullible desire of yours, that old beastly, abased desire, will start moving you, and on will go the TV, and that corruption will begin to go into your system all over again. The Bible said after that the sow has been washed, she will go back to her wallowing in the mire. The Bible said the dog will return to his vomit. He may spit it up, but he'll go right back and lap his own vomit. Why? Because they are not children of God. They are not sons of God. They do not have the nature of God. They've got the nature of a pig. They've got the nature of a dog. And Jesus said they will do like a dog, and they will do like a pig. They will go back to their wallowing in the mire, and they'll go back to their vomit. You know, in one place, the prophet got excited, the Lord speaking. And the Lord said, all of my tables are full of vomit. All of my tables are full of vomit. And God got disturbed. He said, all of my tables are full of vomit. Away with your solemn assemblies and your fastings, all of these things. He said, you take pleasure as coming unto God, even so much as to fast, acting as though you've done my will, he said. But he said, my tables are full of vomit. What did he mean by that? He said, you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. What does he mean, the tables are full of vomit? All of God's tables are full of vomit. Brother, sister, he can mean only one thing, that it is a Laodicean, lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth generation. He was saying that they are lukewarm, they're neither hot nor cold, they're neither spiritual. They won't come in and be spiritual. They stand at the door. They're religious and they won't go in. And everybody else that would go in, they hinder them and stop them from going in. He said, you are lukewarm. I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because, why did he say that? Because you are neither hot nor cold. If you were hot, if you were on fire for God, if you would get fervent in the Spirit, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you would get fervent in the Spirit, if you'd be hot in the Spirit, if you'd have a drive in the Spirit, if you'd live holy and godly, have a perseverance, have a determination, get a vision, pull away from the things of the world. He said, I could bless you. He said, if you were out in the world, if you were cold and you didn't know anything about religion, if you've never heard anything about religion, if you've never been indoctrinated with the things of God, I could still bless you to the extent that it's the days of grace, and I could send somebody to plead with you to come to me, and I could give you grace and give you mercy because of your ignorance. He said, but you're not ignorant. You know the ways of God. You've heard the ways of God. It's on the TV. It's on the radio. It's in the papers, it's on the signboard, it's on the street corners. Everywhere that you go, the word of God is around. He said, and you cannot say that you are cold. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you see, I'm not a Christian. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I've heard this a lot of times. Somebody would say, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, Brother Pike. I'm not a Christian. I'm just cold myself. No, you can't be that way. What you are a hypocrite. That's what you are. Because the person that's cold is one that doesn't know anything about God. And Jesus said, you are a lukewarm generation. You're not ignorant of God. You cannot be cold. And you're not hot because you're not doing what you know to do. Let me ask you a question. If a man know tonight that his house was going to burn up, if he had his little family in it, and he knew that they were going to burn up, if he knew that, and didn't do anything to save their lives, would he be guilty? Now, would he be guilty? Of course he would be guilty. You know that he would be guilty. Because he hath the knowledge. He hath the knowledge of that. He would be guilty. Brother, sister, tonight you know the way of God. You know the truth of God. You know that people are dying and going to hell on your very street corner. You know that people are dying and going to hell in Memphis. Look at this tent tonight. Look at the hundreds of thousands of people across Memphis. Where are they? I've been here in this area before, numbers of times, not under this tent, but we've had a house full. I've been here, and as far as I know, we're fixing to move to a place just a little ways from here. And as far as I know, we'll have a house full of people. And we'll probably have a house full before this is over. We got several more nights. But I'm speaking of tonight, not tomorrow. We may have the house full tomorrow, but I'm talking about tonight. Where are they tonight? If there's just 9 or 10 days of the meeting, why is it full every night? The last place we went, it was full every night. Why is it that the people are not concerned? You know why? I've preached over the radio here. We've reached out through the medias here. And we've reached hundreds and thousands of people in this area. But you know what it is? It's the wickedness of man's heart. Memphis is wicked. It's a wicked place. This is a wicked people. They need to wake up. I have never seen an area anywhere in the world like this area. We've been as far as the land of the midnight sun and witnessed to people. Preached to people in Sweden and in Israel and different places. And I have yet in any of my travels in South America, Central America, into the islands, overseas, to run into an area like this area here. What is it in this area? People are unconcerned. You know where the problem is? They know about religion. They know about God. They've had all kind of preachers in here, and they know about God, and some of them is mixed up and don't know what to do and would do the right thing if they knowed. But they're so tore up they don't know who to listen at. That's some of the people. Some of the others, they love to do evil. They love to do wrong. They love to have a preacher that's gullible, that will take their money and spend their money and still tell them that they're all right and that they're going to heaven and to allow them to do the wicked things that they're allowing them to do. The Bible said they heap to themselves teachers. They don't take God's ministers. They don't pray for a leader. They heap to themselves teachers because they have itchy ears. They want somebody to soothe them, and they say unto us, they say, prophesy unto us. Prophesy unto us. They say that to the preachers. They say it unto us. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Don't be so rough, Brother Pike. You'll have more people. If you'll just use that little silly feminine touch and you'll just whisper and won't hurt nobody's feelings and you don't shake nobody up and you don't get nobody shook up, you don't scream and you don't holler and you just overlook where God said lift up your voice like a trumpet. Overlook the part where he said show my people of their sins. If you'll just overlook that, Brother Pike, and prophesy smooth things to us. Like a man in Chicago, a dentist, he told me, he said, if you'll just do it the way I tell you, I'll see that you don't have no financial problems. The hypocrite. I didn't do it the way he told me. I done it contrary to him. That's what's wrong with Memphis. They got a bunch of hypocrites. Not only some people that are hypocrites, but they've got preachers in this area that are hypocrites. And if you people that love God would take a backbone and take God's word and step up there and tell them that they're hypocrites, you'd get rid of some of them and put them on the run, and God would send you some men of God when God saw that you had a backbone and God saw that you had a concern and God saw that you wanted the truth. God would send you somebody to preach the gospel to you. And folks, you'd grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, Brother Pike, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's so sad to say that I do know what I'm talking about. It'd be a whole lot better if I didn't know what I'm talking about. But I've spent a lot of time in this area, preaching to the people here in this area, and over in Arkansas, and in Memphis, and around in Olive Branch, and through this area, and I do know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you something, folks. There is still some people that love God. There are still some people. There's few of them around. But there's still people that love God. Did you know that there's still people that love God? God still has some people. God still has some people. There's not very many of them. Jesus said it's a little flock. He said it's a little flock. And he said it's a few of them that a child could count them. And he said it's just a little flock. Few there be, he said, that would find it. So there's just a few of them. But there is some somewhere. There is some somewhere. As it was in the days of Elijah. Elijah looked like he was exiled. And nobody cared. But God said there's still a remnant. There's still a remnant. 7,000 that's never bowed their knees to Baal. There's still a remnant. Whereas God still has a remnant. Somebody came to me one time and said, you know, Elijah thought he was the only prophet back there in that day. Said God sure straightened him out and told him he had plenty of them. I don't know where you ever read that in the Bible. Ain't no Bible for that. Elijah was the only prophet. The Bible don't say he had any. All he said was there was 7,000 that had never bowed their knees to Baal. That was people that loved God, not prophets. There was just one. That was Elijah. You love Jesus? There's one thing tonight, and that is if we can have a love for the truth. If we have not a love for the truth, God will send us that reprobate mind. It will bring us cancer. It will bring us tuberculosis. It will bring us insanity. The insane asylums are filling up because people don't have a love for the truth. And they're taking all kind of dope. That's why young boys and girls are taking dope. Somebody said they're taking dope to get high. They're not taking dope to get high. I've talked personally to some of them. They are about to lose their mind. You run them off into colleges and schools and have it on their brain, and they're so mixed up about religion and everything else, they're just about to lose their mind. I've talked to them, but they don't have a love for the truth. You love Jesus? Here, under this tent, I've had people to get up and walk out night after night, more than any place I guess I've ever been. You'll know why they do that, because they don't want God's word. They don't want God's truth. They're hypocritical. They're religious, but they're hypocritical. That's what's wrong with them. They don't want God to come in here and tear this place up, and to set up a standard of holiness, and set up a standard of living, and set up a standard of godliness. They don't want that in this area. Did you know that this very meeting that we are having here, beloved friend, you know, we go by revelation. Paul said, I went up to talk with Peter by revelation. We are here by revelation. And would you believe that this is the truth, so help me God, that this meeting in this area has to do with the judgment of God upon the world. How much more the people of this area? This very meeting here, God told me to set it because it has to do with the judgment of the people of this area and of the world here in this area. That doesn't mean that God won't plead with you, that God won't beg of you, that God won't cry to you to keep from having to destroy your soul. It don't mean that, but it just means that God looks ahead and God knows the wickedness of an area. God knows how wicked they've been in this area. This area produced a person that done more to corrupt the world than any other place in the history of mankind. From the time that Lucifer overthrew Adam and Eve in the garden, there is no record where any man was ever born and produced in an area that has corrupted the world the way that this place has given birth to somebody to do it. I mean corrupted the entire world. He was so powerfully anointed of the devil that it isn't just here in America. I've been over in the foreign fields as far as Sweden. I've been over into the foreign countries, and they sing the praises of that devilish person in that country and admired him, and thousands upon thousands worshiped him. Right from this area here, he was produced. You love Jesus? That doesn't mean there's not some godly people here. This area could produce one that would shake the world. It could produce one that would do something for God. It could produce another Elijah. It could produce another David. It could produce an Abraham. But brother, it produced a bastard child such as the world has never seen. We that are here tonight, I love you folks. I love you. I love you. Men like David Terrell come in here and shake the dust off of their feet against this area. Whether he comes back or don't come back, I don't know. That's his business. But I know one thing. As to what he does, that's his ministry. But I know that God sent me here, and I know that this has to do with judgment. And I don't desire to preach judgment, and I don't desire to condemn anybody. The Bible said God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, for the world was condemned already. But beloved friend, God did send his son into the world to condemn sin in the flesh. And he sent the minister to preach the condemning of sin in the flesh. Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. We are not to lean to our own understanding. You few people that are here tonight, that are hearing the words of God, don't go away and do contrary. Don't go away and have the wrath of God upon you. Take these words. Let them settle in your heart. Think this thing over and say, my God, when I close my eyes in death, the hundreds and millions that surround me in Memphis and other places won't be there with me. I'll have to stand before God as one individual. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll have to go by myself. Therefore, God, let me get my heart right. Let me take what that preacher said and let me go to the Bible and prove that he's a liar. And if I can't prove that he's a liar, let me prove that he's right, and let me take the word of God that that preacher said and let me catalog it in my heart and let me live a holy and an overcoming life. And if you can prove it's a lie, I hope you've got enough backbone to come and stick your finger on my nose and say, you hypocrite, you false prophet, we don't want you in this area. But if you prove what I'm saying to be the truth and the word of God, you need to get right, folks. Because God sent me to this area. God sent me to this area, and he sent me to this area for judgment. The things that the brethren understand that are working with us in setting this tent, they know a few things that I've mentioned before we come to this area as to what this meeting had to do with. Folks, listen, many of you have had warning after warning after warning, and you've been encouraged to live right and encouraged to live right and encouraged to live right. And did you know from the last time or two that we was over in this area and we gave out warnings moving toward this very meeting right here in the climax of a thing that I know that God's going to do? Do you know that ministers have messed their lives up? Their wives are dead. They're mixed up in double marriages. They have run off and left their wives. There's just a whole slew of them that's done it. Of ministers that one time was good, clean, upright men. But they didn't love God enough to hold up the truth, and didn't love the truth enough to press in and stay with it. And they fought against us and wrestled against us until they literally killed themselves in the sight of God by fighting against the truth. You love Jesus? You that are here tonight, you few people that are here tonight, and I say few compared to what we could have under this tent as big as it is. You few people that are here tonight, you take this to heart. You take what Brother Pike is saying to heart. We've got about 3 or 4 more nights here. And after this, we'll be moving, unless the Lord tells us different. But you take what I'm saying to heart, and you think on it. You think on it. Don't get the wrong spirit. Don't get the wrong spirit. Brother, you think on it too, because your spirit isn't right. But you think on it. You think on it because you need it. You're overconfident in yourself, and you feel everything's well with you. But it's been something wrong with you for a long time. You need to get it right. But you that are listening to my voice tonight, you that are listening to my voice tonight, you take this and lay it to heart. Where is your faith tonight, folks? Where is the faith of the people of Memphis? Where is the faith of the preachers of this area? Where is it at tonight? I want you to stand with me. God have mercy on a preacher that will lead his congregation and his people into death. You know what? You would think that Jim Jones, and most of you are familiar with the episode, you would think that he was about one of the low-downest that ever lived to do what he done. And I don't know naturally how you could stoop any lower than he stooped. Whereas, did you know that one time he was on the right trail? And one time he preached a great message? And one time he had a love for the truth? But he got gullible? You would think he was about as low as anybody could get. But did you know that a man that will blind his people, lead them into ball games, and lead them into the slush of this world, and lead them into the things of this world, is more lower down than Jim Jones? Jim Jones just outright committed murder and forced the people to take part of it. But a man that will do the things that preachers are doing in this day, they are leading people, they are committing mass murder, not only of the human body, but of the human soul, and they are leading hundreds and millions of people down into the pit to never come back up. At least some of those people that Jim Jones murdered will come back to life and have a chance to live yonder in the eternities. But these people that these wretched preachers are blinding, these so-called preachers are what Paul called false brethren. These Judases of today, they are so money hungry and so gullible. The things that they are doing, they're blinding souls to where the people will never have another chance. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. I love you folks, and I'm telling you the truth tonight, and I trust that you'll have a love for what I'm telling you. But you find your pastor, you find your preacher, you find the one that you've been listening to. Don't insult him. Don't go say mean, haughty things to him, because he may be a real man of God. But you find him, and you pull him to the line, and you pull him to the Word, and you check the Word of God, and you quit just coasting along, taking his word that everything's all right. You check him out, and you see if he's living a holy life. And let me tell you, folks, if he's not living a holy life, you can be sure of one thing. He isn't going to preach a holy life. He isn't going to teach you a holy life, because he's got to manipulate and cut corners so that you won't be able to see him, so he won't be shown up by the Word of God. You look him over. You check him out. It don't matter if he's a Baptist preacher, or UPC preacher, or Church of God preacher, or Assembly of God preacher, or Seventh-day Adventist preacher, whatever kind of preacher he is. You find out if he's preaching the Word. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. That's the way to check him out. If he speaks God's Word, then he's God's man. If he'll go down the line and he doesn't put it line upon line and precept upon precept, and he gets over here and he tries to curve around that little bit, you better get rid of him. A true God preacher will hit every line upon line. He won't curve around any of it. He won't try to explain it away, friend. He'll just come right down the line with it and tell you just like it is. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I appreciate your kindness tonight and your attention. We've had a number of people from night to night that's left, walked out. For no reason at all but foolishness. But you know what? My job was done. When they heard the gospel, that's all. See, I was sent to tell them about Jesus. That's all. I wasn't sent to make a church member out of them or get them to be my following. I was sent to preach the gospel to them that they may be guilty in the day of judgment, and they are guilty. But for those that are staying and those that are hearing and those that are returning night after night, there is a blessing ahead for you, and there's something good ahead for you. God will bless you in a great and in a mighty way. And you'll find out that as you go down life's trail, things will be well with you. Things will be well with you. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. And you'll be the backbone of the nation. And you'll be the pillars of God that holds up his temple in the earth. For the Bible said, if you overcome, I will make you pillars in the temple of my God. And God needs some pillars in the earth. The Bible spoke of a couple of disciples. He said, these are pillars. He'll make you a pillar in the temple of God. He needs somebody in the earth to hold up the Word of God that will not compromise and will not cut corners, but that will tell the Word of God just like it is and live it just like it is to the best of his ability. And folks, tonight, in this tent, though there's not all that many people, there are some people here that's got a backbone. There are some people here tonight that love the truth. I've watched a number of them from night to night, and I can pick up your spirit, and I can tell what kind of spirit you have through discernment. And there is some here in this tent tonight that loves Jesus. And there is some here in this tent tonight that backslid on God. But you're still good people. You're not a wretch. You've got careless. You saw everybody else do it, and you decided, what's the use? You saw other people do it and you got to thinking, maybe it's right. Maybe it isn't as strict as I thought it was. Because these other people, surely God isn't going to send them to hell. And so you compromised. But I want to tell you something, beloved friend. They will go to hell. The little foxes spoil the vines. I don't care what a good person they seem to be, how much they're thought of in the community, how much they're prospering. The Bible said, not supposing that worldly gain is godliness, from that thing turn away. Just because a man's prospering in the world, that don't mean he's got God. That don't mean nothing. There's a prosperity that comes from the devil. And the devil magnifies his people so that you will be attracted by their fashions and their riches and wealth, their fame and their prestige. But you be for sure that they're going to be lost. They're going to die and go to hell. So don't cut any corners. Don't compromise. Be a real man of God. Be a real woman of God. Stand up for the truth. Do the thing that's right. It doesn't matter how many in the family that doesn't do right. If they're ill-tempered or if they have the wrong spirit or if they do the wrong thing, you hold up for God and keep your spirit right. You stay with the Lord. Stay away from the evil things of this world. The Bible said, come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Do that. Be a real person for God. There's some real men and women here. God is wanting to do something, folks. There's tragedy coming to this area. There's great calamity coming to this area. Much sorrow. This area is preordained for much sorrow. But you that love God, you that believe in God, if you pray, if you'll believe God, God will help protect those of your loved ones. And he'll help protect those that would do right if they had a chance. But somebody has got to pray. Somebody has got to intercede. The Bible said you pray that God will grant unto them repentance. Them that are without, you pray that God will grant unto them repentance. The Bible said we stand in Christ instead, beseeching him or those out there to be reconciled to him or him to have mercy on them. You pray that God will grant unto them repentance unto life. See, God cannot get to them. God cannot help them. God cannot fellowship sin. But you pray that God will, for your sake, he can answer your prayer. He can bless you. He can help you. He can do something for your sake. And if you ask God, he'll do it for you. Ask God to do something for them out there. Do you spend any nights on your knees in prayer? Are you concerned enough about that man that lives on the corner? Or that boy or girl that's wandering around out in sin to spend a night all night long on your knees in prayer? Folks, if you can't do that, you haven't got the goods. If you don't have enough love of God and enough concern of God at this hour to stay on your knees a little while for your loved ones and for the lost, you couldn't have Jesus. You couldn't have the nature of Jesus Christ. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Many times he went across that Kidron Valley up into that little place called the Garden of Gethsemane to pray all night long to the Heavenly Father that Brother Pike wouldn't have to die and go to hell. He prayed for us. Did you know Jesus prayed for you? How do you know that Jesus prayed for you? He said, Father, I've not lost the one of them that you've given me. I prayed for these, Father. I prayed for these. I pray that you'd keep them and not, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. You've chosen them out of the world. You've given them to me, and I prayed for them. I'm not prayed for the world, he said, but I prayed for these that will believe on your name. Do you believe on his name tonight? Do you love him tonight? Oh, I feel his wonderful concern and presence tonight. God bless your hearts tonight. God bless your hearts tonight. I feel his presence. Since we've hallowed this little spot, since we sanctified it, prayed that God would be with it, let's just sing a little chorus tonight in honor of the Lord. Can we? That stream is flowing from Calvary. That stream is flowing and it cleanses me. from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, oh, the stream is flowing from Calvary. Sing it with me now if you believe that. There's a stream that's flowing from Calvary. A stream that's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, oh, that stream is flowing from Calvary. How many of you have a love for the truth tonight? Let me see your hand. Do you have a love for the truth? I believe you do. I believe you do. A stream is flowing tonight. God doesn't have to say to you and to I, where is your faith? He doesn't have to do that. But did you know that this sermon tonight will go to many people? Hundreds of thousands of people out on the radio. It will go to people on the TV. Many of them tonight, he will have to say, where is your faith? Many people here in the Memphis area, he has to say to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? But we tonight that love Jesus, we that love the truth tonight, God doesn't have to say to us, where is your faith? Where is your faith? God doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to say that to you and I, because we believe in the Word. We believe in the truth. I wonder tonight, as always, I ask you to gather around the altar for just a closing prayer from night to night. I do this because it strengthens us. It gives us a little drive to overcome the bodily and the human desire that wants to keep us away from God and away from the altar. It causes us to put forth a little physical effort that we might master our human being a little more, and that we might get a little more control of our own personality to make it to do the things of God and to command our bodies and our minds toward the things of God. Come on, folks, tonight, and let's gather around for a few minutes, can we? It may be your prayer tonight. It may be your faithfulness tonight. It may be your loyalty tonight. It could very well be that, friend, that will save this area from destruction. When the twisters begin to roll and the hurricanes begin to move, when the epidemics begin to fall, heartaches and sorrow and misery begins to come, it may be your prayer, it may be your loyalty that does something for this area and for this people. It might be your prayer. It might be your effort, your fasting, that brought this tent right here to this area. It could very well be your prayer to be yours. You know, while we were in Macon, Georgia, not too long ago, having a great revival, and the tent filling up night after night, there was a black man that came to me, and he said, "Brother Pike, I know this is God. We had sat in an unusual place, in an unusual area. Ordinarily, I wouldn't even have gone out to that place to sit. I wouldn't even be in this area to sit. This is unusual. But I'd gone out there to set the tent in that area." And he said, "I know this is God." He said, "For I live just over the hill. And I have pleaded with God and I have prayed to God for many months. Oh God, send a tent revival like this to this area. Send it, oh God, hear my prayer. Where's your faith tonight?" That man believed. That man believed. That man believed, and God sent a revival to that area. Hallelujah. And tonight it could very well be that it is on record tonight in heaven that that man has credit, that God will give him the credit for that revival. God may give him the credit for that revival. When I get to heaven and I stand there and I say, God, I thank you for the credit of this great revival that swept into this area. God may very well look at me and say, son, all of your efforts I've rewarded and I appreciate, but the credit goes to this man that's been doing the praying. He prayed for this revival. See, and it may bring him health in his lifetime. It may bring him blessings to his loved ones. It may save him from a crash on the highway. It may do something special in his life just because he believed God. Just because he believed God and was concerned about the people of God. Are we really concerned tonight, folks? Are you? I want you to lift your hands with me tonight. Somebody prayed in this area. Somebody prayed, Brother Sam, or it wouldn't be a meeting here. I don't know who prayed. I don't know who's responsible for it. I don't know who's concerned. But we've reached a lot of people in this area already. Night after night, we've had a real turnover here. And we've reached a lot of people. We've reached hundreds of people in the few nights that we've been here. And they've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody had a part in it. Somebody believed God. Somebody was concerned. So then tonight, you may be the one. I hope that I'll have a part in it. I hope that I'll have a part in it. Did you know that you can bring a revival to the angels? How do you know that you can start a revival in heaven? The Bible said the angels rejoice over one soul coming to repentance rather than over 99 just people that need no repentance. And I know that in this meeting there's been at least one that has come to God. There's been at least one that has come to God, and the angels of heaven is rejoicing tonight. Somebody is responsible for that revival and that stirring in that great city called glory. Somebody is responsible. Oh, brother, sister, tonight, what an opportunity we have. Where is your faith tonight? Do you really believe in God? Do you believe in God for healing of your body? Do you believe in God for deliverance of your soul? Are you believing in God for the deliverance of others? Are you praying and beseeching God that others be converted, or making intercession to God that God would reach them that are without? Asking God to grant repentance to them that are without. Are you doing that? Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that a privilege that the King of Glory desires your service? That the King of Glory would say to me or say to you, pray that I can grant repentance to them that are without. Pray that I can reach them that are without. Oh, brother, sister, pray for me. Pray that God will help me to reach the world. Pray that God will help me to reach souls. Pray that God will open doors that I might preach this grand and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world for a witness. You know, they're pleading with us to come into India. They pleaded with us. They wrote letter after letter, and they've received thousands upon thousands of our tracts, pieces of literature. And they say, Brother Pike, it is glorious. He said, these messages are glorious, and we look forward to the day when you'll set feet upon the soil of Africa and preach this great gospel of Jesus Christ to us. In India, they're doing the same thing. In Jerusalem, they're doing the same thing. In the islands, they're doing the same thing. And around the different states here in the nation, they're still doing the same thing. The man that came today is from one of the world's biggest movements. And he said today, he said, Brother Pike, we've been praying, we've been seeking God, and we've been testifying in our area of this ministry. We want this ministry in our area. Said the people will come if you'll come to our area. But oh, beloved friend, we're in your area right now. We're in your area right now. We're in your country right now. Don't do like they did in the days when Jesus went into the land of the Gadarenes and they said, depart out of our coast. Don't do that. But say, my God, Jesus, be with us. Jesus, give us a revival. Jesus, bless us. You love Jesus tonight? Lift your hands up and let's love him. Can you? Father of heaven tonight, I know the angels are looking down. And As I feel the Holy Ghost tonight, as I feel that loving Christ, the only one that loves humanity, the only one that's concerned about humanity, the only one that ever spilt the blood and was beaten and bruised and went through the chambers of hell and despair for humanity. My God, tonight, have mercy upon this Memphis area. Have compassion upon this Memphis area. Father, shake those preachers, Lord, that's throughout this area. May your Spirit, God, go into their bed chambers at night, and may they not be able to sleep upon their beds. May they be not able to rest, but through the night trouble them, Father, until they roll off of that bed and get on their knees and plead the cause of humanity. And oh God, move through this area, Father, to heal the sick, to save the lost, to forgive iniquity, Father, to ward off danger, to keep judgment away from this people and away from this area. Have compassion. May a great revival break out across this nation. May a great revival stir this area, Father. Oh Lord, until people will know that Jesus is nearby. I pray that you do it. Every person that's standing here tonight, I pray especially for them, Jesus. I pray that you will heal their body. May night after night, somebody receive a real, genuine healing, oh God. May night after night, somebody receive a real, genuine healing. A deliverance, Father. Here, I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to do it in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with the joy of the Lord. Fill us with that great joy. Heal us, Jesus. Save us, Jesus. Forgive us tonight, Lord God of our sins. Be with us in the name of the Lord. Grant it, Jesus. Can you say amen? I want us to sing a chorus together. We sing this chorus a lot of times, but I wonder if we really stop to think about the words. It's a little song called, I Love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But a lot of times when we're singing this little chorus, I hear the people singing it and I wonder, I say, Lord, do we really love you? Do we really love you? Let's sing it together, can we, children of God? Oh, I love him. Can you sing it with me? I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it again now. Oh yes, Jesus, I love you. I love you. All because that you first loved me, and you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I'll enter his courts with praise. Oh, I'll say this is the day that my Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Sing it with me. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Sing it one more time. We will enter His gate with thanksgiving in our heart. Oh, we'll enter His courts with praise. And we'll say, this is the day that my Lord hath made. And we will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. He hath made us glad.
Oh, I will.